Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, October 2nd, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Lawyer Jonathan Samkange says summons will soon be served on ZANU-PF lawmaker and Mashonaland West Chairman Themba Mliswa and the Newsday newspaper for allegedly defaming ministers Jonathan Moyo and Xavier Kasukuwere.
President Robert Mugabe's wife, Grace, says ZANU-PF will find it difficult to survive as a party if her husband decides to quit politics, adding on the other hand that MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai is now a spent force.
And Nelson Chamisa's bid to become the MDCT's next Secretary General is countered by external branches like the US that's opting for party spokesman Douglas Monzora.
The MDC USA External Assembly has nominated our President Tsvangirai to run for the president, and we believe that Tsvangirai is going to win.
Lawyer Jonathan Samkange, representing Information Minister Jonathan Moyo and Environment Minister Xavier Kasukuwere in a $20 million defamation lawsuit, says the messenger of court is yet to serve summons on ZANU-PF lawmaker and Mashonaland West Chairman Themba Mliswa and the Newsday for defamation. The two ministers filed separate lawsuits against Mliswa and the Newsday. This comes after Mliswa was quoted in the Newsday newspaper alleging that the two ministers were gay and that Moyo was an employee of the American spy agency, the Central Intelligence Agency. The lawsuit comes as factional fights deepen in ZANU-PF ahead of the party's elective congress in December. Last year, Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa's wife Auxilia and others also filed a $50 million lawsuit against ZANU-PF member and Midlands governor Jason Moyo for alleged defamation. Samkange tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that they are considering suing two more publications for the same lawsuit.
I can confirm that I am representing Minister Professor Jonathan Moyo and also Honorable Minister Xavier Kasukuwere, who are suing Honorable Themba Mliswa. They are suing him for defamation of character. This is in the suit of articles that appeared in the Newsday. And that is the reason why we are also suing Newsday for publishing documents, articles that are patently defamatory.
But there are also a number of publications, Mr. Samkange, that published these allegations, even the Herald. Why is it not being sued?
I haven't seen one from the Herald, but I have seen two other publications. In fact, one of them I've got it with me right here. I have seen it two other publications, right? But I wrote it myself and the two ministers when they came to give me instructions yesterday. They were actually rushing to attend a political meeting. So I did not discuss with them as regards the other two newspapers, but they did bring them to me. But because they have not discussed with them, I could not issue summons.
That was Attorney Jonathan Samkange speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The Zimbabwe National Students Union claims that over 250,000 college and university students in the country have signed a petition to be used in court to challenge the validity of First Lady Grace Mugabe's philosophy doctorate. ZINASU President Gilbert Mutubuki says his organization is collecting more signatures which will be submitted to court with other documents to fortify their case against the University of Zimbabwe's Chancellor President Robert Mugabe, his vice, and the Higher Institution of Learning. Mutubuki says they are taking this matter to court to protect the integrity of the university, as the recent awarding of the doctorate to the First Lady has been questioned by students, lecturers, university stakeholders, and other people worldwide.
I don't think that the issue of collecting signatures is necessary at all, because it's not really the number of signatures that proves that a case is in a certain way. Just one individual would be enough, if he has sufficient interest in the case, to get the degree set aside, or to get, at least at the very minimum, the university to explain how they awarded that degree. So it's not really about numbers. It's not an election. It's about rights, and rights has nothing to do with the number of people. So it's not a class action. It's just an ordinary action which any individual can take up with the court.
Do you think that these students have a right to take the matter to court?
Yes, look, anyone has a right. In fact, especially in view of the new constitution, anyone who feels that they've been treated unfairly has a right to approach even the highest court in the land, the Constitutional Court, to look into a particular case. If you show sufficient interest, if you show sufficient evidence, you mount a very good case, you will win your case. So the students do have that right, like anybody else. Even you or I can actually take the matter to court. It doesn't have to be the students. It can be anyone.
And that was...
I think that was actually independent human rights lawyer Job Sibanda speaking with Gibbs Dube on what matters in the case in which Zinasu is taking the University of Zimbabwe, President Robert Mugabe, his deputy, to court on the doctorate that was awarded to Mrs. Mugabe. Attorney Tonderai Batasara, representing Epworth settlers whose houses have been classified illegal and are being demolished, says the matter will be discussed before the courts Tuesday. The Epworth board, with the help of the police, started demolishing the illegal structures Friday. The settlers have since taken Police Commissioner General Augustine Chihuri, Local Government Minister Ignatius Chombo, and the Epworth board to court over the demolitions. There were no demolitions in Glenora and Chitungwisa today. A Blessing Zulu reached out to Epworth Residents Trust Chairman Daniel Foyer for more details on the situation on the ground.
Today there were no demolitions, Blessing. The situation was very quiet and calm.
We understand that some residents had been detained by the police. Have they been released?
Reports are saying 11 of the detained victims were released, but there are still some who are still on the run, and police would like to interview them in connection with some violence that took place in that area.
How many homes were destroyed, do you know?
Roughly, I can estimate at 150 to 200 units. That's what I can roughly say were the houses that were demolished.
Do you know where the victims of these demolitions are at the moment?
Some are still on the open, and some, I'm sure, they have seek accommodation from their relatives who resides within that periphery.
That was Epworth Residence Trust Chairman Daniel Foyer on the line from Harare with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
With seven provinces behind him in the ongoing MDCT nomination process ahead of the party's Congress later this month, Organizing Secretary Nelson Chamisa's bid to land the influential Secretary General's position has suffered a setback after the USA External Assembly opted for his bitter rival for the position, Douglas Monzora. The three external assemblies, the USA, UK and Ireland and South Africa, have been given the power to nominate candidates after 3 years of not being able to do so. The UK and Ireland are expected to nominate candidates in the next few days. The US Assembly nominated Monzora for the Secretary General's position, while the Midlands province, which also had its own nomination process today, chose Chamisa. The U.S. also chose to maintain the current leadership led by Morgan Tsvangirai, in the exception of the organizing secretary, where they chose Abednego Bebe to be deputized by Job Sikala. We reached U.S. Assembly Organizing Secretary Muzoba Nzincube for their take on the nomination process.
Well, as MDC USA External Assembly Province, we have chosen Douglas Monzora to be our Secretary General because we believe that he is a man of courage and he has worked very well with us here in the External Assembly. He has communicated very well with our chairman here, Mr. Dan Moyo. He's always in contact with us. And we believe that as we move our party to the elections here in 2018, we want a Secretary General who is looking out for the party and not someone who is just a populist in Zimbabwe and just cares more about themselves and doesn't care about the priorities of the party and communicating with the external assemblies and partaking his job and doing what he needs to do to facilitate that things are done properly here in the external assembly. And we believe that Mr. Douglas Monzora is the man.
So are you as an assembly confident that Tsvangirai is going to win the next election, judging by your nomination?
Yes, the MDC USA External Assembly has nominated our president, Tsvangirai, to run for president. And we believe that Tsvangirai is going to win. And he's the most popular opposition leader in Zimbabwe. And we're all rallying behind Tsvangirai to beat Robert Mugabe.
That was Muzoba Nzincube, the USA Assembly Organizing Secretary of the MDCT. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Virginia, right here in the USA.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930-5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Chris, now we go to regional and international news.
Texas health officials in the United States are monitoring 80 people for possible exposure to Ebola, including up to 18 who had direct contact with a Liberian man who is the first patient in the U.S. to be diagnosed with the virus. A spokeswoman for the Dallas County Health Department said none of those being monitored are showing symptoms.
The man who says is Boko Haram chief Abubakar Shekau has appeared in a new video dismissing reports that he was killed by the Nigerian military. The video, obtained by French news agency AFP and released today, shows the man saying, "Here I am alive. I will only die the day that Allah takes my breath." The bearded man, wearing combat fatigues and carrying a machine gun, looks like and talks in the same animated manner as the men seen in previous Boko Haram clips. The Nigerian military said last week that the real Shekau is deceased and that an impersonator in the videos, who it named as Mohamed Bashe, had been killed during fighting around the town of Konduga.
And pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong are threatening to take over several government buildings if the territory's Beijing-friendly chief executive does not resign today. The student protesters are giving Lung Chun Ying until midnight local time to resign and have already begun camping outside his office in the semi-autonomous Chinese city. Taking over government buildings will be a major escalation for the protesters, tens of thousands of whom have occupied several main thoroughfares since last Friday.
President Robert Mugabe's wife, Grace, says ZANU-PF will find it difficult to survive as a party if her husband decides to quit politics, adding on the other hand that MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai is now a spent force. She said it will be difficult for ZANU-PF to find another leader with the rare leadership qualities she says her husband was blessed with. Arthur Chigoriwa reports from Chinoy.
Addressing hundreds of ZANU-PF supporters at Harare, she said was officially making her entrance into politics. Ms. Mugabe described her husband as a man of integrity who has worked to better the lives of others. She said ZANU-PF presently has a deficiency of quality leaders, creating a problem as to who has the ability to lead the party in the absence of 90-year-old Mr. Mugabe. The First Lady's statements add fuel to speculation that her ascent to the leadership of the Women's League in December is meant to create a Mugabe dynasty in Zimbabwe. At 49 years old, Ms. Mugabe is entering the political arena at a time ZANU-PF is divided over her husband's succession issue. Though some have said she is being used as a pawn in a political game that is much bigger than her, it seems she is emerging as a possible contender. Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa and the Deputy President Joyce Mujuru have for a long time been the major contenders for the top job, though they both deny leading functions. Ms. Mugabe takes over the leadership of the Women's League from Opam Chinguri, the Women's Affairs Minister, in December following a well-orchestrated move to smooth her way into politics. Analysts say the move was also meant to counter Mrs. Mujuru's possible rise to the top office in the land. Speaking as if she was reading from her husband's script, Ms. Mugabe took an aim at MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai for allegedly being a womanizer following his well-orchestrated documented problems with a number of women. She said the MDC leader was now a spent force. Speaking about herself, Ms. Mugabe said today was a special day for her as the rally in Chinoy kick-started her political career in earnest.
Zuvara Nasi. Kwandiri ndinori ona riri zuva rakakosha nokuti izvo izuva riya.
Today is a very important day for me because it's the day I have been formally asked by women to embark on my political career.
She said she was not concerned about political titles, as some people believe, adding those who want titles should work hard for them.
Titles don't matter in life. You can have a title like First Lady with people bowing when they see you, but this does not mean it's coming from the people. You can be called Dr. Mugabe and have a degree or a documentation that you hang on the wall, but that documentation does not do the work for me.
Mrs. Mugabe waded into the factionalism debate that is tearing ZANU-PF apart as factions angle themselves in a bid to take over from her aging husband, now 90 years old. She said it was a shame that senior party members are fighting one another instead of delivering on promises made during last year's election campaign.
Factionalism is saddening because the issue of factionalism won't take us anywhere. If this is true, what we are hearing, because some of us hear things but remain silent, if that is the case, we pray that God gives those doing it wisdom. Because sometimes people who do this are missing wisdom.
Mrs. Mugabe said 2008 was an unforgettable year, adding her husband's defeat to Morgan Tsvangirai in the first round of elections was a wake-up call that leaders should not take the electorate for granted. She urged party leaders to work tirelessly all the time, adding they should not visit their constituencies around election time only. In a hint that the rise of Ms. Mugabe will not end with that post of Secretary for Women's Affairs, outgoing Secretary Opam Chinguri told the party supporters that the First Lady will be the chief advisor to the president in almost everything.
Ah, andi goni kuzvitaura mani. Mu politics, my problems, edu acho unanzwisisa.
I don't know what to say. The president knows all the problems in all the provinces. He is troubled by these problems, but his wife discusses with him, advises him, gives him solace. Women, you now have a window.
What was clear from today's rally, Grace Mugabe stressed as she enters the political stage, is that Zimbabwe is in for interesting times. How far the factions will go in trying to assume power is for all to guess as contending groups continue to fight openly in the media. This is the first time in ZANU-PF history that divisions have reached this stage that think tanks say threatens to throw the country into chaos if the succession issue is not resolved quickly. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoi, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
The Voluntary Media Council of Zimbabwe today held a training workshop in Bulawayo to enlighten journalists on highlights in the new constitution. This after the organization realized that many reporters were ignorant of key constitutional changes that they should be reporting for the benefit of the public. Media trainers Takura Jangaja and Tafuma Machakaire took the journalists through the new constitution, addressing different issues including the key question of who immediately takes over the presidency in the event that Mugabe steps aside. Voluntary Media Council Program Officer Faith and Love, who tells VOA's Ntunga Milinkomo, the training will help journalists report constitutional issues from an informed point of view.
Ndingati zvatadzidza inyaya yokuti tinofanirwa kuti kana tichinyora zvatinenge tichinyora nokuburitsa mashoko tinofanirwa kuti tinyatsokuziva.
A technical glitch is there. We'll come back to you. This is Studio 7 coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. We are broadcasting on the 909 FM, and we urge our listeners, Chris, to keep on writing to us. And also remember that we are now on Channel Zim on your WISTEC free-to-air decoder every day live. And you can listen in on www.channelzim.net.
And now we go to our tape, Sandy.
The main focus of the workshop was on media and the new constitution. It was born out of the realization that the media are not doing enough to cover the constitution and to keep it on the public agenda. And, of course, we also realized as the Voluntary Media Council of Zimbabwe that there is also need to promote public awareness around the new constitution, first by making sure that journalists themselves are informed about the new constitutional framework and also ensuring that they report accurately on the same.
What enlightenment exactly came out of this meeting that will benefit journalists?
The training touched on several issues, which include the key features of the new constitution, such as the founding principles and values, the expansive Bill of Rights, issues to do with devolution and gender equality, the new commissions, such as the Zimbabwe Media Commission, the Gender Commission, and other commissions that we have in the new constitution. And of course, it also touched on, among other issues, on the role of traditional leaders. So it was a very expansive review of the constitutional framework and how the media can effectively report on those issues. And it generated a lot of interest and debate from the journalists themselves, with some raising questions on, why it's taking so long to align the legal framework with the new constitution. There was a general consensus and agreement by journalists that they have a very important role in defending the profession of journalism and ensuring democratization of the media profession itself and the Zimbabwe society.
And that was Voluntary Media Council of Zimbabwe Program Officer Faith and Lovu on the line with VOA's Ntunga Milinkomo from Bulawayo.
Zimbabwean NGOs based in South Africa have expressed concern about the continued arrest of Zimbabweans with expired dispensation for Zimbabwe permits, despite Pretoria's declaration that those permits are valid until December 31. The arrest comes as 245,000 Zimbabweans have begun the application process for an extension of permits issued in 2010 under the DPZ project. South Africa's Home Affairs Minister Malusi Gigaba, in announcing the special permit process, reiterated that all permits from 2010 will now expire on December 31, regardless of when they were set to expire. Gigaba did not explain how permit holders or the police would deal with the period between now and December, but he said those who would have applied could always produce their receipts as proof of stay if asked. For Perspective, a reporter at Atenda Gumbo spoke with Solomon Chukwuero, chairperson of the Global Zimbabwe Forum, and Daniel Muzenda, communications director with the Zimbabwe Migrants Association. Muzenda explains his organization today received alarming reports of Zimbabweans with the DZP permits being arrested.
We've got two categories of migrants here. Those who are not documented, those who do not have any papers. Of course, those we, as organizations, there's no way we can protect them. But those who have got their permits, we can help them even if their permits are expired. We can actually help them so that the police can at least understand what is going on. But if people don't have permits and they have overstayed, there is nothing we can do. They have to apply for the general work permit, and these are supposed to be applied back in Zimbabwe.
Mr. Chikowero, looking at what Mr. Muzenda just pointed out,
if somebody qualified in 2010 to be in the program of CSDP, that is the Zimbabwe Special Dispensation Permit, that person cannot be arrested and cannot be deported. If that person is arrested, let that person phone the authorities, let that person phone the organizations which are dealing with Zimbabweans. He is not even supposed to sleep in the police cell. The police will call in the Home Affairs official to come and verify the permit, and they will release that person.
Mr. Muzenda, for the 245,000 people who received the first permits, there are already reports that they are facing issues when it comes to application processes. Can you let us know what you've been hearing on the ground?
Yeah, that's very true, Tatenda. People are facing challenges when it comes to applying online. The reason being that most people are not compatible with the use of computers. And at the same time, the VFS system seems to be, it's not user-friendly as of now, because I think they are still trying to test the system. And even if you make a call to make a follow-up, clarify what could be the problem, the telephones are going unanswered. So these are some of the challenges people are facing. But we are still hopeful that the system will be okay maybe in the 2 to 3 days to come. And then on the other issue, we also urge all our members to be very, very careful when they are depositing money. They should make sure that the money they are going to deposit must go straight away to the account for VFS, because they could be a scam. We are receiving reports that some people are already giving people their personal accounts to deposit the 870 rand. So as a result, people can lose out a lot of money.
Mr. Chikowero, you also pointed out some anomalies that are occurring in regards to people visiting these centers.
Well, when the Minister of Home Affairs announced on the two media briefings he made it clear that all the applications are done online, and all the fingerprints are done at VSF centers, and the money which is charged about 870, it's inclusive of the fingerprints and the permit itself. But what we are seeing, like today, I went around the two police stations, Yuvo police station and the Yubro police station. People, Zimbabweans, were queued there, taking their fingerprints, paying 59 rand. What happens there, the real certificates will come out. They'll give them the certificates, which are genuine certificates, but when they get to VSF, VSF is going to say, your certificates are not admissible with us. We take our own fingerprints, so they are not going to lessen or to deduct the 59 rand you have paid at the police station. It will still remain 870.
Mr. Muzenda, can you clarify for our listeners in regards to the police clearance, what they have to do? Some are wondering if they get police clearance through the physical application website itself.
When you receive an application form, you fill in all the required details on the application form. And then after doing that, you don't send any documents as of now. You have to call VFS, and then you set up an appointment at the VFS offices. They do what is called a biometric assessment. Then when they do that, this is where you get your police clearance from VFS.
Mr. Chikowero, I'll end here with you. What's your message to Zimbabweans in South Africa going through this process?
My message to them that it was very clear from the minister that the 3 years they've been given is not going to be extended again. This is the final time they've extended these permits. So I urge all Zimbabweans who are in possession of these permits that as they extend their permits for the next 3 years, let them apply for the relevant visas, which is going to take them beyond 2017.
Solomon Chikwero of the Global Zimbabwe Forum and Daniel Mzenda, Communications Director with the Zimbabwe Migrants Association. Unfortunately, Chris Time is not on our side, but just to remind listeners, today we are discussing on the Women's Forum, Marvelous and Black Sedes, the issue of miniskirts. So please call in.
Good night, Zimbabwe. My name is Chris Gandhi.